evening, gentlemen. We're on page 526, 527 in the Mosnayim text, Rambam, Hilchos Ritzeach, Shmiras HaNefesh, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. We're talking about the laws of Garmi, in which the what the person is doing is so blatantly direct that it is considered as if he killed the person himself. So there's a couple more halachas, and now we're going to talk about squash, or racquetball, or handball, however you want to call it. Hazoyrek Sror Bekoisel. Person throws a rock at a wall, and his intention is that it should bounce off the wall and strike another person. And the rock now goes backwards after hitting the wall. Vahorga kills a fellow. Chayiv Misas Bezdin. He gets the punishment of death by the hands of a Bezdin. Now, you might have thought, what? Well, listen, I didn't do it. I just threw it at the wall. Now, the wall killed him, not me, so I'm indirect. Maybe you think I'm a grummer. No. Shemikocho he bought. Came from your koch. Was the thrust of your throw. It goes against the wall and comes back and kills the fellow.
Especially if it's a rubber
so,
wall.
So that makes you chayiv.
Isn't it unintentional? You wouldn't be.
No, well,
for execution.
No. What? He was intentionally throwing it.
Threw it against the wall, but he wasn't intentionally trying to
kill the guy. No, to kill the guy.
Why
no, it's clear.
Right,
he had kavanah.
He thought he could get around.
It doesn't matter why he did it that way. You know, maybe I don't know why he did it that way.
No, the way it sounds, it could be unintentional.
No, but the Mefarshim explained that if it was unintentional, he wouldn't kill him.
Yeah,
it wouldn't kill him at all. So now, v'chein eilu shemesachakim b'kadur. Similar people are playing ball. Shehis shubahem. The people are warning you, don't throw the ball. You guys say, well, we're just having a game, right? But there's a person standing right there, and now you throw it against the ball, and it hits the fellow, the horgan kills him. Right? Now, so this is a little bit tricky, this next part here. So it depends where the person is stationed. So, besoch arba amas, if the guy is within four amas of the wall, and you kill him, peturim, you're not chayiv to be executed by a Jewish court of law, although it's certainly not a nice thing to do, because these guys want the ball to go much farther. Okay? Now, it seems over here, it's like they're playing, and people are saying, listen, you can't play over here. There's an old man sitting right over there. If you realize if you're going to play, it's a good chance you're going to kill this guy. It's like a little marginally different. It's not like they're mamish have kavanah to kill him. They have kavanah to play a great game, and they know the guy's in there, and playing the game right there, it's like you know what's going to happen, guy. So if the old man is within the four amas of the wall, then you're not chayv, right? Because they want the ball to go much further. They want the ball to go further. So they weren't trying to get the man per se. They want to get further. Now, if he's further than they catch him, then they're fine with that. But chutz l'arba'amas, once it's more than four amas, afil l'sof mea amas, even if it's 100 amas, chayav, you get the death penalty.
Whoa.
Now, but this is the condition, sheish b'rekei l'hamis. There has to be sufficient weight in the ball, obviously, to kill the fellow. Kamar Shemarno, as already explained. So it's a very, unusual type of halacha. I mean, I don't really see the difference of four amas. They're saying, well, they intended it to go further. In other words, they're playing a game, it's like long ball. So they don't want the ball to go so short. So it's like, even though you know you're not supposed to do this, but it's like we don't want to hit the guy if he's that close. If he's further away, that's part of our game. We want the ball to go further. So their intention is the ball should go far. So if a guy happens to be closer, then that wasn't my intent. I never wanted the ball to go so little. So that becomes the difference over there.
But you see, even with professional athletes, their accuracy is not always...
That's right. But it's already that wasn't what they wanted.
Now, wouldn't it have gone further if it wouldn't have hit the person?
Okay, so I don't know. I don't really get this halacha. Now, it also mentions that the person who gets killed wasn't able to move. If the guy's a regular, normal guy, it's like, hey guy, we're playing, can you move? You know, and he could move. So it's obviously a person who, for whatever reason, can't move. He's sleeping, or he's old.
Like handball at Baycrest.
Yeah, handball at Baycrest, right. Okay, but the main vort of this halacha, the main point is, even though you're not directly hitting him, it's going against the wall, that's what you're having. That's the main point of the halacha. Now, here's an interesting case. Let's say you throw a ball, or a rock, whatever, straight up, and it comes straight down and kills somebody. And let's even go further and say you had a mind to do that. So the guy's right next to you, you throw it straight up, comes straight down, you're perfect, a perfect shot. Comes straight down and hits the guy. Okay, what would you say without looking inside? What would you say is the halacha?
Can the guy move?
That's not an issue. That's not a factor. It's not a factor. It's not a variable. Guy's right here. I plan to kill him. I see he's there. I throw the thing up 500 yards, whatever, anywhere from 10 to 500 yards. A big gazunta rock. It's heavy enough. And a perfect shot comes right back down, directly down, and kills the guy. What do you say?
You should think he's high up is chayev, and the angle is patur.
You learned ahead.
No.
Oh, no? Oh, smart. What did you say?
I said straight up and down is chayev, and on an angle is patur.
Okay, what's your logic?
It's obvious it's going to, I mean, it's so obvious. What goes up comes straight down, but there's more of a chance if it's on an angle.
Okay, so you're trying to be very clever, Mark. It's good.
Okay.
But that look is the exact opposite of what you say. But it's good that you're thinking, that you're using your Talmudic mind. Okay. But it's the exact opposite halacha. Now, how is this the exact opposite? So let's read, although we'll need some explanation. Zarek Evan Lamali. You throw a rock up, v'hocha letzadim, and it goes to the side, lahorga to kill the fellow. Chayiv, that's when you're chayiv. But if it doesn't go to the side, you're not chayiv. So now let's try to understand the logic. When I throw it up, let's look at a normal case. When I throw something across with a good velocity, and it can go 100 feet, and the guy's in the middle of that, and he gets hit by that. I'm obviously chayiv. Why should I be chayiv? I let go of it.
But you directed it.
But it's my koach. Very good. It's my koach. My koach, that throw is like pushing it forward. It's like my hand's there the whole time.
It's an extension of you.
Now, when I throw it straight up, I give it a good koach. So how much is my koach?
Just till it reaches the top.
Till it hits the apogee.
Now gravity.
The apogee, I think.
Apex.
Is that apogee?
Never heard of that word.
I think it's A-P-O-G-E-E. Look it up. Apogee. Reaches its apogee.
I have my dictionary.
Okay. Now, at that point, Martin, your koach is done.
Gravity takes over, Rabbi.
Now, your koach. Now, if the guy is, let's say, up in the air.
If you hit him on the way up.
50 feet up in the air and I kill him. Yeah. Or, you know, if he's a flying person and I hit him. You know, then you're chayev. But now that it's coming down, my koach's finished. So the fact that it comes down, it's a whole separate koach, right. And I'm just, that's grama.
That's true.
That is grama. Now, Mark, if we throw it at an angle, anything that's coming from the angle, that's right. Part of my initial thrust because it's not coming down merely from gravity, but it's coming from the push that I gave. If I throw something at an arch, my throwing will make it go all the way is where it's going to end. So there's enough of my koach. There might be some gravity there, but there's also my koach is involved in that throw, and only under that circumstance would you be chayiv. So, okay, then you'd have to, then of course, there's going to be a point where if you do it at a 1 degree angle, you know, it's not going to do it. So they'd have to figure out the difference, but that's the theory. At what point is gravity more of a factor? At what point is your koach another factor? You'd have to figure out the angle.
More than 18 degrees.
The question is, using that logic, if you're on top of a building and you simply dropped the object.
That's on top of something.
That's cause. We learned that already, but that's cause.
But I'm saying.
It's gravity did it. You didn't do it.
Yeah, but you directed it. You directed it.
Would that make a difference, right?
You know, once I'm throwing, I have to do something to make it go down. Okay, that's a good Shiloh. It's a good, just drop it.
Yeah. But remember we said that somebody's dropping flower pots and they drop it from the ground, from up on top of a building, and if you smash it with a baseball bat just before it's ground, you didn't do anything
right.
To
so
it.
Right, so mashma, yeah. That if nobody else smashes it, you're chayiv. Yeah.
Right.
Because then it's right. Coming because of you.
Exactly.
It's coming because you started the initial
right.
Coming down.
Pushed it into the
that's a good point.
Use it as a synonym for apex.
See?
Cinnamon Apex.
I remember. Okay. I remember. You know, I knew that because I think when I was a kid, I made a model rocket called the Apogee.
Really?
Okay. Anyway, Hakoyves Eschavero. Okay. Now here's another interesting one here. Hakoyves Eschavero. You tie up a fellow. V'hinicho b'makom sheni ochlevroch, and you put him in a place where he can't run away. He's stuck. He can't run away. V'heitzi v'lav mayim ames, and now you open up. That a current of water can unleash them, right? Whatever you got, let's say the dam or the hose, the pipe from the fire hydrant. You put a guy, tie a guy right in front of the fire hydrant and open it up and boom, it hits it, right? Okay. The hates of my mace, and you unleash the water on him and he dies. So are you chayv or not? Hares and Aragolov. You kill him. He gets killed for that. Why? Because it's no different than anything else.
It's like the lion in the...
It's because you opened up and you're opening, boom, the guy kills him. That is a garmi. That's a real garmi. However, there's an interesting qualification. Vushayamus mikoach rishon habami maisav. It's only if he gets killed from the first thrust of what you have, and then he dies. But if after the first, he doesn't get killed the first time. First shot doesn't kill him. But then the next wave and the continuous water, or for that matter, you let it go, and then the guy's tied up and he drowns from that. Then you are potter. Why? Because all I did was bring that first wave. That first wave is what I'm responsible for. Everything else, it's a grumma for the second wave. I'm a garmi for the first wave, but a grumma for the second wave, right? So in other words, the water is what killed him. All I did was start it off. The first water definitely comes from me, but the second one is already considered a secondary
What's
thing.
What's the difference between tying him up and drowning him and tying him up in a cage?
How did I drown him?
Let's say you put him in a...
I put him in water. I am submerging him in the water. Okay. I am killing him.
If you tie him up and you put him in an empty swimming pool and then you open up and you fill it,
then you're not chayiv.
So what if you put him in the swimming pool? You tie
now
him
if I keep if I keep him, if I would keep putting every bucket in, if I took a bucket and bucket, then I'd be chayiv because I killed him with the water.
So what
I
if you tie in. Him up, you put him in the swimming pool, and you put a lion in there?
No, so if the lion is there when I tied him up, no, then that's different. The lion is there; it's going to kill him right there. It's imminent, and it's going to kill
him.
But
you tie him up and you throw him in a swimming pool full of water.
Then you've killed him. You've put him in the thing of water. But all I did was do the first thrust. Everything else is just coming.
If
that other water doesn't go, he won't get killed.
What if the lion paces and then takes an hour to kill him?
That's not my problem.
Doesn't matter.
Same thing, because you put him, it's imminent. A lion eats people. It's that lion that's there. This water, I just let the first amount of water and everything else. Everything else is different. Everything else is different.
Well, this becomes the same as like a gunshot because you pull it.
It's like a gunshot, exactly like a gunshot. It's the same force. You open up, and now that's a thing. Okay, moving on. Perek Revi. Hamiskavein laharog ezeh v'harog ezeh. You aim at Reuven, fire, and somehow you're a lousy shot, and you hit Shimon instead.
Oh boy.
Okay. Poter mimisas bezdin umina tashlumim. You don't get killed, you don't have to pay any money, and you do not go into exile.
So it's similar like that.
None of those things. Why? Why? Because the Torah says, if a person will hate his friend, and he lies in ambush, and comes, pounces upon him, and he hits him and he dies, then we kill the guy. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand the guy hates him. But what's this va'aravlo? And he ambushes him. What's the idea of the ambush? That's an extra word. So Mahir Reb Shimon learns that you're not chayv until you intend on killing him. In other words, I'm lying in wait. I'm waiting for this particular guy, and I kill him. So a critical factor in punishing somebody is that you are aiming for that you kill the guy that you are intending to kill. In other words, you have to intend to kill Reuven, and you have to kill Reuven. If I'm intending to, hating is a different point because that shows the thrust of the killing.
You have
remember,
to know who it is.
Sone is not to know who it is, but you know who there is a victim. In other words, let's say there's a guy walking, you don't know who he is, but that's the guy I want to kill. And you kill him, then we put you to death. But if I'm planning on killing A, and for some reason B gets killed, it means I was not intending on killing B. Part of getting punished is you have to kill the person you're intending to kill. Here he did not intend to kill this other person. And therefore, even though he intended to kill somebody else, but he didn't kill that somebody else. So he only are put to death if you kill the person you intend on killing and not killing somebody we're not intending on killing.
They had those two guys in Washington, D.C. who were picking off people at random.
They were wanting to.
I guess.
Okay, so we will see. We're going to get to things more similar to that. So just hang on. So none of the you're not chayav for any of these things. Now
up through Beis Din, but through Shemayim.
So hold on. Of course, hold on. Not finished. Lefi. Now let's think for a minute. Now, so okay, he doesn't get killed. But why shouldn't he go to Nira Miklot? Why shouldn't he go to Nira Miklot? So we will see, the Rambam will say it clearer in the next halacha, but I'll just tell it to you now. A Nira Miklot, a city of refuge, only helps for pure unintentional. In other words, when I'm unintentional, then Nira Miklot will be a kapara for unintentional. Well, if I kill on purpose, what's a real out and out killing on purpose? The person I wanted, you don't go to Nira Miklot, because Nira Miklot's not good enough. The kapara. So when I intend to kill A and I kill B, since there's malice and intention, even though it's accidental that I killed B, but that's already too severe of an action that an Ira Miklet will give kapara for. Okay? Because you did intend on killing somebody. And once I had an intention to kill somebody, even I accidentally killed the other guy. So in terms of the other guy, it was an accident. But the whole action was an intentional action, so it makes it worse of an action that an Ira Miklot will not be able to be mechaper for. Hold on. Just wait 1 second. All right. Kamoshi is bar, as will be explained in the next halacha. Okay. Well, but so the Mefarshim explained, though, that Lefikach, therefore, okay, so let's hold on. So therefore, he does, obviously, we can't kill him. That's halacha. He certainly is chai b'dei shamayim without question. And here's an interesting point. And the Goel Hadam, the relatives of the person who was killed, isn't allowed to kill him.
They are?
Yes.
Until? There's no Ira Miklot. So then where's his...
So the guy's got a problem.
The
guy's got a problem.
I'm telling you, where's
because, he going? Because the guy, in terms of a redeemer of blood, he's got rights for this. He's got rights. So the guy was intentionally... So it's a problem. Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's later Rambam who's going to talk about other situations. So it's not a good... So the guy's really not off the hook so well. Yeah.
So the Beis Din has nothing in between doing nothing or executing the person. There's no punishment in that.
Well, that's a good enough punishment. The fact that guys can go after him, that's pretty good.
You're on edge anyways.
That's pretty good. Now we come to maybe your case. It's a little similar. Lefikach, therefore, hazoyrek evan lesoich edom Yisrael v'harag echmem. A guy just is a big group. He just throws a rock in the middle of the group. Enough that's capable of killing somebody, right? Now, they're all Jews. And let's even go further. He says, you know, and I want to kill somebody in this order. I'm throwing this to kill somebody. Now, there's 1,000 Jews there, and I don't know exactly where it's going to land, but I do want to kill a Jew. Now, I'm not such a marksman that I say, okay, I want Moshe Schwartz, who's in the middle of the crowd, and I'm aiming. Now, if you're aiming for Moshe Schwartz in the middle of the crowd and you hit him, then you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
But if you're saying, listen, there's 1,000 Jews, I'm going to throw this so hard, and I want to kill somebody. So here's a rutzon to kill, and you do kill, but you don't know who you're killing. So that's vaharag echemem, and you kill one of them. Potter mi misas bezdin. You do not get misas bezdin because you did not have someone intentionally in mind. And again, the thing is given over to Shemayim, and a gol adam. If a Goel Adam would kill him, the Goel Adam is Potter. So there must be, the point is, there must be a specific kavana, intention to kill a specific person or persons, and must be accomplished as you intended.
So it's the same
thing. So you're right, if a terrorist, L'chaira, the Arab terrorist, right, they're not planning on killing anyone in particular, and they know they're not going to kill everybody, but they want to kill somebody. So in that situation,
you
know.
But that's a Goy.
I'm saying that idea, the Besdin could not kill him. Now again, of course, we go back to it's like Arab terrorists are doing it every mutig and danishtik, you know, you would obviously be able to prosecute on them to stop that. But in the pure case, there isn't that kavana to kill per se.
So same if you drive a car into a crowd, it's the same.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, base. Niskavin lahakas is chaver al mosnov. You're planning to hit a guy in his loins. Now, v'lohi b'kli k'dei lahamis al mosnov. And the weight of the utensil hitting the loin is not enough to kill the guy. So when you're doing that, you're not planning on killing. You want to give him a good set, so you don't want to kill him. But, you know what, let's say you threw it or whatever, missed. But you weren't a good aim. And now that object, next page, or Evan Alibo, instead of the rock hitting the loin, it hits him in the heart. And that is a sufficient enough blow. And it can kill the guy in the heart. Vamace, and the guy dies. One example. Or, you plan on hitting him in the heart. And it's enough to kill him. And that's what you're trying to do. But again, you're not a good aim. And now it hits the loin. And it's not enough to kill, but this was a weaker guy than usual. Well, Mason, he dies even though you hit him in the loin. In both cases, now what do you have? In the first case, you planned on not killing him, but you wound up hitting him and killing him. Second one, you planned on killing him. You hit him in a spot where he shouldn't get killed, and he still gets killed. So now what's the halacha? Potter mimisas bezdin? He cannot be killed by a bezdin. Ve'ena goyli doesn't go into exile. Why? Because she'ena harik b'kavona goyli. Because if you don't kill with intent, you don't get goals. Now here's the chiddush though. The chiddush is even within the same person. The halacha before is I'm trying to kill A and I kill B. Here I'm trying to kill A. But I'm trying to kill A like this. I wound up hitting him in a way that would not kill him. So in other words, it's more than just killing the person. It has to be the way you wanted to kill him.
But it says both cases don't get exiled. Why wouldn't the first one?
Because the first one, he didn't plan on killing him.
So it's unintentional.
So it's unintentional. So
no.
He wasn't going to kill him.
No. Wait, let's go.
No.
Unintentional means I don't plan on hurting
nobody.
I've
got an axe. I'm going back to
I'm chopping wood. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. And that's real unintentional. If I'm planning on beating you up to an inch of death. Oh, and you died. Oh, I was really unintentional. You know, like the mafia. We weren't going to kill him. We just want to rough him up a bit. You don't go into Golas for that. It's got to be totally, you did not want to hurt this guy. So here, but in the second case, you did want to kill him, but it goes so far that it has to be the way you wanted to kill him. I want to kill him in the heart. And it goes to the place where it's not the heart, and really that normally wouldn't kill. And just because he's a weak, he doesn't get killed.
Now, but he can't go to exile.
I'm only skavin lahakos al musnov, but let's say he tries to hit him in the loins. And it's enough to hit him in the loins and kill him in the loins. On the heart for mace, and he dies there. Then he gets killed because what he wanted did come true. He hit him hard enough to get killed, and it hit him in a place where it could kill him in that place. So then it doesn't have to be precise. In other words, my will was to hit him hard enough to kill him, and it hit him in a spot that would kill him. So I really got what I wanted. I got what I wanted. It doesn't have to be the spot,
right,
per se. In other words, that's with a little difference here. In the case before, I wanted to hit him in the heart, but I hit him in a spot that would not kill him. No. So to that aspect, where it did hit him, it normally wouldn't kill him. The fact that it killed him, that's already unusual. So that's not my position was I'm going to hit him in a pot where he'll get killed and he'll get killed from it. But now he got hit in a spot where he won't get killed. That wasn't my intent. I didn't want to hit in that spot. But when I hit him in the loins hard enough to kill him, that means as long as I hit him in a spot that's hard enough to kill him, that's fine. And that's what happened when it hits him in the heart. So it's really his wish did come true.
It's a little different. It's a little different because remember we said if the guy got hit, he wanted to hit him in the heart and kill him, and instead he hit him in the loins and killed him anyways, even though it wasn't a hard enough shot to kill him in the loins, then he doesn't get, you know, doesn't get the death penalty. But here, he wanted to hit him in the
loins. Enough to kill him.
Yeah, enough to kill him and hit him in the heart instead.
But it was, and that's obviously
but one has to be less than the other. You have to add that thing because otherwise the proviso from the first case wouldn't make sense. So it has to be that it's something weaker than the first part, but the first one definitely would have been killed, therefore the second one also
is killed. The first two cases aren't similar either. Very similar. I mean, the guy wasn't trying to kill the first one.
The thing is that the neither was enough to kill him in each case.
Okay, anyway, that's the main idea. In other words, if he does intend to kill him, in a place where he's vulnerable, and he gets him in a different, similarly vulnerable place to kill him.
Less vulnerable,
it's,
yeah.
It's, or more, the heart is more vulnerable.
Right.
The heart is more vulnerable.
Right.
So that is not considered like the other case. Right. He planned on killing one and he kills another. It's got to be, you know, you wanted to kill him, and he did kill him. It was in a vulnerable place, and he got him in a vulnerable place, a different vulnerable place. That's still the same thing.
Okay.
Gimel. Hamakes b'chaveiro b'evino b'egrof u'kiyetzvim. A guy hits a fellow with a rock or with a fist or similarly. Now, omdimo, so now we have to make a calculation over here. We make an estimation. In other words, you hit him hard. The guy is being rushed to intensive care. Is he going to live? Is he going to die? Right now, we're not sure yet. So now what happens? What happens at this point? At this point, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 hours. The guy's going to live. It looks bad. It's serious. For sure serious. He's losing blood. Now, is he going to die or not? And what do we do with the guy who hit him in this moment? Because if he guy does die, then we've got to get this guy, let him run away, right? So what do we do in the interim? So what are we doing here? So, Imam Dulachim, so there's got to be somebody who makes the estimation here. Right now, we see the guy in emergency room. We estimate, is this guy going to live or is this guy going to die? So if they estimate he's going to live, and that's what's going to happen. But okay, we see the wound over here. Okay, you know, two cracked ribs, a concussion, this. It's not life-threatening. But certainly he's going to be out of commission for 6 months in this. So what do? No sein chamisha durim nifter. We estimate what are the five punishments of nezek, tzar, ripa, sheves, boshes. Those five things, he's got to pay. And then the nifter me, and he's free to go. In other words, we don't do anything else to him, but he's got to pay the money. Now let's say what happens next is, let's say you hit him in the foot, right? Now what happens then is complications come, and it from the foot area, and the guy ends up dying. Now, v'afivu chola hamuka, even though the guy who got hit got sick, v'hich, but it gets worse, u'meis machmas samaka, and he dies what apparently appears to result from that initial wound. We have to add, it appears to be from that initial wound. Then hareze potter, the guy is potter even though the guy died. Right? So, in other words, because their original, we go with the original assessment. We don't say, you might think to say, oh, I guess the original assessment was wrong. Since it was wrong, the fact is the guy did die. I guess it was worse than we thought it was. We don't say that. We say they estimated he's in the emergency. They said this is not, it's bad, but it's not life threatening. So hold on. So then why did he die? So we assume that something else came up not directly related to his, that blow per se. Okay. And, you know, some other, infection came or whatever. But, you know, other things can happen, but it's not. So that could only be a grumma now to what happened. In other words, so I know what you're going to ask. And what about cases where it's hard to tell?
Didn't we have this before? It seems similar. Didn't we have this like a...
No, what we had before is if they estimated how long it would take for the recovery.
That's
if they
the
estimate
slave.
5 days.
The slave.
Five. No. By recovery. Okay. If they estimate 5 days, do you want to take it day by day or the whole thing right away? Time. So we said, you know, you have those options. Here we're talking about where we're not sure if the guy's going to die or not. So we have to make the estimation. The estimation is he's not going to die. Finished. Once we make that initial estimation, means you didn't hit him enough to die. Now, the fact that the guy may still die, it could be, you know, he has a weak heart, and now combined with that, and this and that, there'll be complications, then he'll die. Now, this is already a grumma, at best, and it could be totally just something from Shemayim, you know, that the guy should die. The guy said, you should get better, and you see a lot of times, people getting better, all of a sudden he dies. What happened? What do you mean he died, right? So it's a complication that comes out out of that, that's clearly grumma and
so,
can't be
so
something
here,
to be.
Here in the news, we'll hear.
So it comes out interesting. He has to pay the five things.
Yeah.
Even though the guy dies. You know, which is very interesting.
He's not helped it in.
Okay, let's finish halacha now. Now, what if the imduhu lemisa, but what if they judge the guy is going to die?
You got to go to prison.
Now, that could be it'll take 2 days till he dies.
You got to hold him in a holding.
So now, what do we do right now?
Imprison the guy.
So, Osrines Hamaka Bebeis Hasor Miyad. We immediately put the guy in a temporary jail. Even though normally imprisonment is not a punishment, But here we have no alternative, because if we don't imprison, you killed a guy, and they think he's going to die. What are you going to do if you're the guy who hit him?
Get out of there.
You're going to get out of the country as fast as you can. So we can't let that happen. Right? Umamtinin lozer, and we wait for this guy to die. You know, we hope he doesn't die, but we wait for the guy to die. And even if the guy will, let's say, have put people in his place, like guarantors, you know, I'm going to go and let this guy sit in jail. You know, that's not going to help. The guy has to be, we put him in jail. Now, how do we know this whole halacha? So it's very interesting. The pasuk says, you know, when you hit a guy and the guy's sitting, so, you know, what do we do? And the Torah ends up and says, the guy was wounded. The Torah says, if the guy gets up after being hit really bad, and he's able to walk outside on his mishanto, with simple meaning is his staff. We'll see that's not the meaning. Then it says, v'nika hamaka, and the guy who hits him is clean. He doesn't die. As you say, a guy hits a guy, he gets killed, we kill him. Guy hits a guy, and then you know what happens? He's sick, but then he gets up. Then the Torah adds the words, and the guy who hit him is clean. So what's this idea? The guy is clean. For sure he's clean. So the Torah is teaching us, you know what? If you wound the guy so bad, right away we put him in jail. And the assumption is, we're going to kill him if the guy is deathly ill. Only if the guy gets alive, then is he clean that he gets out. So if he's, the fact that once the guy gets better, the guy becomes clean, that means till he got better, he wasn't clean. So what was the not clean? We hold him in jail and we assume we're going to kill him if the process continues, that the guy dies. Right? So that's what it means. So we put him in jail. So if the guy, Taka, dies the next day or two or three, whatever, Yerei Hamaka, we kill the guy who hit him. Vim Heikel, Vinisrape Refua Shalema, Velholach Bashuk Al Raglov Kishar Habrim. And if he gets better and he's healed, a refuah shalema, a complete refuah. How much so that he's walking in the street on his feet like other healthy people? He looks absolutely fine. The doctor gives him a clean bill of health. All right, and that's what it says. Verapo yirape, right? That he healed him, and it's clearly that he was healed, right? So it was when it says rapo rape, the double lush, it means to say a refuah shalema, right? And now when it says, the Torah says viz halech b'chutz, he goes out, the Torah says, not enough just to go in his house and recover and sleep in bed. No, that's not approved. The hospital releases people to go to their house and they get dropped dead a day later. But if the guy's walking around in the street, then we know everything's fine. And that situation, he's okay. Then mishalma maka chamisha dvarim v'nifter. Then he only pays the five and nothing more. So it's interesting. We first say, listen, buddy, you look like you're going to die. We're going to hold you, and another day you're dead, man. All of a sudden, he's lucks out, and a mamash, or a foolish lema comes. So now he turns into paying the five punishments to help pay for that cost.
Permanently paralyzed?
That's still, but it's considered alive. He's considered alive. If the doctors say he's not dying, clear. I mean, obviously, there's levels, but if the doctors say he's clearly not going to die, he's healthy to the extent that he's not going to die, but he may never work and walk the rest of his life. Till one way or the other is determined. They may hold him for a while. So let's just do Dal because it fits right into Gimel. It's just Mamish. It just adds one point. Now you're going to say, wait a minute. But the Torah says he's going on a crutches. How do you know he's any better? Possession of Torah. But it says the Torah, Al Mishanto, which simply means on a cane. No, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean he goes and he rests on a stick or something like that. Because even a guy who's dying can walk on a cane. It only says mishanto el shia mehalech al mishenes burio. But it means he goes on the support of his own health. In other words, he goes on his own, mishenes really means a support. It means through his own healthy support that gets him to live. He doesn't need any other force to rely on. And that's, if you look in the Targum Unkelus, that's what exactly it says. It says, Mishenes means al buryo, that he has health. So he's on his support of his health, as opposed to that he's supporting on another thing. But he's got to clearly be healthier, and then with that fact, the guy is off the hook.